Hello, happy Easter to everyone. As you can see, we have video, so hopefully this works out and I'll be able to post this online. You'll be able to see me. I don't know if you'll be happy to be able to see me or not, prefer the audio, but I decided to give this a shot during Easter and kind of make it a little bit more personal to have a video touch. So I hope you're doing well. I wish we could be meeting together, but this is best for now. So I think I'll start with announcements. Today is the last day to collect cards for Milner's. I will announce if we decide to continue collecting cards, but for now, this was the last Sunday. Easter is when we're stopping, so just to let you know that. The mowing schedule is up on the website under Ministry Schedules tab. You'll find it there. So if you volunteered last year to mow, please check that. I think they just recycled the list from last year, so check and see when you are due to be mowing. Be checking Facebook and our website for updates as well, just when we might meet, any announcements that might be happening. Let me know if you're not getting the phone tree texts or calls. It's been kind of hit or miss with certain people, so we're trying to sort that out. So please let me know if you're aware that you're not getting the messages. There's always the challenge, isn't it, when you're to become aware that you're not getting something. But if you're aware of that, let me know. If you need anything during the coronavirus self-isolation, if you need groceries, if you're afraid to do something because you might get exposed, or if you're in any kind of need, let us know. The care team and I would like to help you if we can. So just let us know if you're in need at all. We'd be happy to help you. I also can send prayer requests out to anybody via email. I've got the new prayer sheet here in front of me that I will look at, and we'll do prayer here in a moment. But if you would like these are normally in the bulletins. I can email those to you. Just send me an email, let me know, and I will shoot those off to you. Or I can physically mail them to you as well. If you don't do email, just call me or text me or whatever mode of communication is best for you, and I will send those out to you. So going into our prayer time, there are no new prayer requests that I'm aware of to be shared this week. So just kind of the normal stuff. And if you do have prayer requests, again, send those to me, and I can put those on the list every week. So let's open our time here with prayer. Father, we thank you this Easter for sending your Son, that we might have life. Every hope we have depends upon what happened that first Easter. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are vulnerable at this time during coronavirus. We pray that you would provide protection from them, that you would provide healing for those who are infected and sick, that you would provide protection over people's finances, that you would provide even in the midst of scarcity. We pray that you would guide the leaders of our nation, give them wisdom on how to best handle this whole situation, what is the wisest and the best course. Pray that you would guide and lead them each and every day. We pray, Father, that you would be with those in our congregation who are sick, who have medical tests coming up. We pray that you would protect them, provide healing and restoration. Pray for those who are just grieving right now, going through a hard time, maybe going through a time of transition. We pray that you would be with them, give them comfort, and give them strength. We pray for our missionaries as well during this time, that we support and whose finances are ever so uncertain at this time. We pray that you would continue to provide for them, that you would give them comfort and peace, that you would continue to work through their ministries and give them wisdom on how best to serve you in these difficult times, how they may need to adapt their ministries and the way that they minister to effectively minister to other people in this time of isolation. Father, we pray that all that I speak today would glorify you, that you give me the words to speak. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is certainly an unusual Easter, isn't it? You may have seen on the internet or heard people talking about it. N.T. Wright, who is a world-renowned theologian, published an article for Time magazine on March 29th titled, "Christianity Offers No Answers About the Coronavirus. It's Not Supposed to." Now, this title is provocative, and many titles, when people write things, are provocative. That's how they get people to read them. But it's irked many Christians, and many Christians have written rebuttal articles against it. And so you may have heard about this somewhere in the past week or so. And I read N.T. Wright's article, and the title is certainly irritating, I suppose, but really didn't have a whole lot of problems with what he said in the article. What he said was, in essence, the Bible doesn't explain why coronavirus has happened. It doesn't explain how all of this is going to resolve. We don't have those answers in the Bible, and that's true. Wright also explains that in the Bible, Jesus and the disciples and many other saints are found lamenting at times in Scripture. Lamentation is a real thing in the Bible, and that's true as well. And so his argument is, as Christians, we ought not to try to explain away coronavirus and give reasons for why it's come or what's going to happen and try to explain it away. We should rather spend the time lamenting during this time of suffering. And lamenting is a real biblical response to suffering in times of trial that we have. There's nothing wrong with that. We see that. You have a whole book called Lamentations full of laments, Psalms full of laments. See many characters in the Bible lamenting. It is a biblical response. But my issue with N.T. Wright's article is that the Bible, I believe, gives us many more tools to deal with this situation that we find ourselves in than mere lamentation. It gives us other tools in our bag to combat the challenges of anxiety and fear and all that face us during this time of uncertainty. You know, we're over a month into this whole mess. When it first started, it was supposed to be for just a couple weeks, wasn't it? And I think a lot of people could handle that, you know, a couple weeks. Some people were probably excited. It's like a mini vacation. But now it's gone longer, and there are even forecasts that this could go many more months, maybe even through the summer. And it's already a burden, and it's hard for many of us, but that would be unimaginable to many of us and would have catastrophic consequences to our economy beyond what has already happened. And we simply don't know. We don't simply don't know when this is going to end. We don't know how this is going to progress. We just got to take it a day at a time. But there's some real fear and there's some real anxiety out there. Not just at people's health, that they might get sick, that they could even die if they get this illness, but fear for relatives, people who might get sick. There's real fear for what might happen to their finances and what might happen to their businesses. There's real anxiety and there's real fear. But today we're going to see, during this Easter weekend, does Easter have any relevance to coronavirus at all? Is Easter really relevant? I'm going to argue it's very relevant. It's very important for us today. And we'll see why here in the Bible. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, towards the end of Matthew, we'll be reading some familiar passages. We'll get to those in a little bit, but if you'd like to turn there, start turning to Matthew 28. We'll have 3 points today. And the sermon insert outline, by the way, you should be able to find on the website under the Sermons tab, and you have all the insert outlines there, so you can kind of follow along the sermon with that as well. And we'll see 3 points. We'll see that the days surrounding that first Easter were similar to our own. We'll see where our hope comes from, what we need to do in light of that hope. So the first point we come across today is this, that the days before that first Easter were very dark days. They were very dark days indeed. The days that we're living in now are dark days and have challenges, but those were far darker. I'm talking about the 2 days immediately preceding that Easter Sunday, starting with the first Good Friday. Just imagine being the disciples. The disciples were in a real pickle because Jesus, the one who they believed to be the Messiah, the God-man, the one, the Savior, not only of their nation and their people, but of the world, was dead. They were facing the greatest of existential crises you could possibly face. Their whole foundation, they'd given everything to Jesus. They'd given up their jobs, they'd given up their families, they'd given up everything for the hope that Christ brought them. And yet he was dead and in a tomb. Not only were they discouraged and depressed by that, but they were afraid. They were afraid of losing their lives. They were afraid that the religious leaders who had Jesus killed and the Romans wouldn't just stop at Jesus. They would come looking for them and have them killed as well. That's why in John's Gospel, in John chapter 20, verse 19, Jesus' disciples are locked in a room when Jesus suddenly appears to them. They're not locked in there because they're depressed and they're going to commit a mass suicide or that they are trying to keep Jesus out or ghosts or whatever. They have the door locked because they're afraid the Romans or the Jewish religious leaders are coming for them next. This is why Peter even denies Jesus 3 times to save his own neck when Jesus is arrested. He's afraid he's going to end up like Jesus too. And so there's real fear and there's real anxiety. They may even be afraid about whether they'll be provided for financially, because remember, many of them left their jobs, left what they had done behind, and they had no income. They were dependent with Jesus on those who would provide for them, would give to them. So they were living in financial uncertainty too. What could they go back to? Would they be able to make ends meet? All kinds of doubts, all kinds of fears, all kinds of anxieties had to be running through their mind. It was a dark day, that first Good Friday. And then they had the Sabbath day the next day. It was a dark day, full of anxiety, full of fear. And then we have Easter Sunday. But I'll get to that in a moment. The situation the disciples faced was very similar to our own situation. I would argue far darker than our situation, especially for Christians, those who believed in Christ. But similar in many ways, because today people are living in fear for their lives. They're in fear not of the Romans or the Jewish religious leaders, but they're afraid of this invisible disease that could come and take their life at any moment. They're anxious about what would happen. They're afraid and they're anxious about their finances as well. Will God provide for them? Will there be a job left after all of this resolves? Maybe they know and they're full of sorrow and grief that their job isn't going to be back, isn't going to be there to come back to when all of this ends. Perhaps certain people, not in our area, I don't think, but more in New York and like Italy, are full of grief because they've lost a loved one. It's hard times, certainly dark days. And similar in many regards to what the disciples were feeling. Perhaps we can empathize a little bit better with them now that we are undergoing the suffering that we're undergoing and have a small taste of what they may have been going through at this time, that first Easter. These are hard days, and these are dark days as well, just like the days preceding Easter. But all of that is not the point of the message. That's simply the dark setting before Easter. So here's our second point today that I want you to get. The reality is that we have the greatest hope this world has ever known because of that first Easter. You have the greatest hope that there ever was because of what happened that first Easter. This is the story of the resurrection. This is where, if you'll look with me, we'll read Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. It says this: Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met with them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So there we have it, the greatest miracle in history. Jesus rose from the dead. He beat death. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, not the mother of Jesus, the mother of James, a different Mary. Got a lot of Marys to kind of keep track of, and it's kind of hard. But the two Marys are coming to anoint Jesus' body. And they meet an angel who says the famous words that we remember every Easter, that he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Jesus was risen. He wasn't there. And Jesus even met them in the garden. And he told them to go tell the disciples that he will meet with them in Galilee. What great news. What great news. It's not just an astounding miracle, but it has great implications for us today. Jesus, first of all, by his resurrection, secured eternal life for all of us by rising from the dead. You see, if death kept Jesus down, then death is the ultimate master of this world. Not Jesus, not the Lord, death. But Jesus beat death. He not only beat death for other people, we have the stories of him resurrecting Lazarus from the dead and the young man being brought out of the city. But Jesus himself beat death. God himself was dead, and it was dark days. But then God himself rose from the dead. And there's eternal hope ever after. That is the blessing of the first Easter. Eternal life. The hope of life beyond death. That death doesn't have the final say. Now, do you think that has any relevance at all to the coronavirus pandemic? I would say it has all the relevance in the world. Because the greatest fear, the reason everything is shut down, is so that people don't die. I'm not saying that's unwise to do. You don't want needless death. But as Christians, we know that we can have eternal life. That we will have eternal life. Because Jesus rose from the dead. He beat death. And we saw that he has done that with other people as well. And we have guarantee then that he is able to raise us from the dead. And he's promised that he will. And God has a pretty good track record of fulfilling his promises. I think it's about 100%. So we can rest assured, we know that he will fulfill his promise, that we'll be raised from the dead, and we'll live with God on this new earth forever. What a blessing that is. What hope that gives us in the face of death and uncertainty about our health, uncertainty about finances. We know then, if we know that we have resurrection of life and eternal life with our Lord, we know that even if the worst happens during this pandemic, even if we die, even if you die from this, you will yet have eternal life with our Lord. This may be dark days in our lives. We may go through dark times in our lives. But it all pales in comparison with the eternal life that lays at the end of our journey. I think it has all the relevance in the world to the coronavirus situation. Now look with me at Matthew 28, 16 through 20, just a bit farther down. This is known as the Great Commission. You've probably heard it before. Starting in verse 16 through 20. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. At this point, the disciples have now seen Jesus after his resurrection. Some believe, some doubt, but they all see him. And he gives them this challenge: go make disciples of all nations. But I especially want to point out verse 18. Jesus told his disciples that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Notice the verb tense, that all authority has been given to Jesus. When did this happen? Because he already has it at this point. When he rose from the dead, God the Father gave Jesus the Son all the authority. Jesus has authority over everything, over all the earth, over every disease, over every nation, over every economy. Jesus is the one in charge. Jesus is large and in charge. Do you think that has relevance to the coronavirus? I think it has every relevance. Because we know that Jesus is God and that he is good and that he has got control over all things, even this virus, even economic uncertainty. We are in our Lord's hands. Coronavirus didn't pop up and God missed it because he was sleeping. Coronavirus didn't overpower Jesus. Jesus is still completely in charge and he is completely good. And that is a comfort to me. I hope it's a comfort to you as well. Now at this point, many may say, okay, wait a second here. If Jesus is completely sovereign, if Jesus is completely good, why would he allow coronavirus in the first place? Why do we have coronavirus? Well, this is where N.T. Wright is correct. The Bible doesn't explain that to us. And we won't know. We won't figure it out on our own. And you know what? God is not accountable to anybody asking that question. God doesn't have to give answer to that question. Think about the story of Job. Job wanted to know why he was suffering, and God answered him. But he didn't explain why he was suffering. So too, we often don't know why these things happen. We don't need to know. It's not relevant. We don't have peace and comfort and hope as Christians because we know where the coronavirus came from and we know when it's going to end. We have hope because we know who's in charge of the coronavirus. We know who is in charge of all things, and we know that we have the hope of eternal life. We know how the story ends. We may not know why it's happening the way it's happening now, but we know how it ends. That's a great comfort. It should be a great peace for all of us. We don't need to know the whys, and we won't necessarily know why. So that's why we have hope. But what are we to do as Christians with this hope? This is the third point I want us to get today. We are to share the hope of the resurrection with those around us. We are to share the hope of the Easter story with those around us. For it is of every relevance during this time. The hope that we have as Christians during this coronavirus, we would not have if it wasn't for Easter. There is no more relevant message today, at this exact moment, to our society and to the world than the Easter message. Perfect timing. People now are more receptive than maybe they'd ever be because the world is on lockdown. The world is uncertain. The world is afraid. And yet we have hope. We have hope. And there's two ways that we need to share this hope. First is through our mouth, through what we say. We need to be explaining the gospel. We need to be explaining the Easter story. We need to be telling others of the hope that they have, that they can have if they have faith in Jesus, that they can have eternal life. They can have forgiveness of sins. They can have reconciliation with God. All because of what happened that first Easter. We need to be sharing with our mouth with what we say. Now, remember, we don't simply explain the gospel, this Easter story, for a security blanket, something to help us sleep better at night, to give people hope. It does do that, and that's good, but it's not a psychological exercise. It's not a psychological therapy that those of us who are Christians, we prefer the Christian therapy of eternal life. There is eternal significance behind whether one accepts the gospel or not. Don't forget that. Those who accept the gospel go on to eternal life. We have that hope. Those who don't accept the gospel not only don't have that hope here on this earth during this time of coronavirus and fear and what might happen to our health and finances, but they also don't have hope for the next life. The Bible makes it abundantly clear, terrifyingly clear, dreadfully clear, that those who don't have faith in Christ will spend eternity away from the presence of God in hell. That is not popular today. That is not a popular teaching, but the Bible makes it quite clear. We have hope in this life because we have hope in the next life. And we have hope in the next life because of what Jesus did that first Easter when he rose from the dead. We need to be telling this to people. We need to be telling this good news to people. And again, it's not good news just to think so we can think positive. We don't proclaim this as Christians because we need to be these peppy, happy Christians. You see in many TV shows today, the stereotypical Christian they put on there is this kind of air-brained, peppy person. Happy person, supposed to be positive and happy. Well, we have reasons to be positive and happy. But we're not simply positive for positivity's sake. We're not positive because think positive instead of being negative. That's not hard to do. People in the world have been doing that. Hippies did that. There's many movements in our society that people have tried to be positive. Think about love. Think about peace. Think about tolerance. All that stuff. All that stuff's not bad. But it is bad if you don't have substance behind it. It's one thing to be positive in the face of death, in the face of a virus, when you have hope of eternal life. But what is there to be positive about when you're facing death and you don't have that? You have some worldly answer, and you see these in the movies. They don't really have answers. The world doesn't have an answer to what happens after this life. You hear things, you see things in the movies like, after death, you will go on in your friends' hearts. You're there in their heart. Or you'll go on and watch over them. Nobody believes that. That's no answer at all. There is no answer for death that the world has. We have one, and it's all because of Easter. Jesus rose from the dead that we might have life. You either believe it or you don't. And there's eternal consequences whether you do believe it or not. So not only do we tell people about the gospel with our mouths, but with our mouths we make the gospel the most clear, the message the most clear. We explain the nuances, we explain what's happening, we get the theology, all that stuff. But we speak the most loudly, I think, in the way we behave. We need to communicate the gospel in the way we behave as well. What's that mean? Well, that means it's one thing to say, look, I believe in eternal salvation. I know I'm ultimately safe. I know the Lord has control of all this. But then if we say that and we go off and we are living very anxious lives, we're living lives of hoarding, we're being selfish, we're being rude to other people, we're knocking the old lady down in the store to get the toilet paper, right? Speaks louder than any gospel message. We show that really the gospel that we believe in is simply our security blanket. Help us sleep at night. We don't have any other answers, but we really don't have anything that the world doesn't offer already. If we really believe the gospel, we'll live it. And we need to. And that communicates a very clear message. Live, that we do have hope, that this is not the end. We fearlessly, but wisely, serve others. We're sheltering in place now and isolated, not because we're afraid, but because we don't want needless death. We don't want to contaminate others. It's an act of service. It's an act of love. And we don't want to simply throw our lives away either. We don't want to be unwise. But it's not because we're hanging on to this life with all we've got. It's not because we're too afraid to serve others. We ought to be serving others and living in light of the hope of the resurrection that we have. And that communicates very loudly what we really believe, and whether there really is hope in the gospel or not. So we need to share the hope of the resurrection with those around us. Share the Easter story because it has great relevance during these dark days. The days before the first Easter were even darker days. Darker days for the Christians, darker days for the disciples who had lost everything when Jesus died. And yet, Easter came. And they had hope everlasting. And this is our hope and our rallying cry, that Jesus is alive. He's not in the tomb. He is risen. And because of that, we know that we will rise as well. It is the greatest hope this world has ever known, and it's certainly relevant today. And you know, I'm telling you this message, but it's not new information. It's not even new for the church. There have been many pandemics and plagues that have the church has gone through throughout Christian history. And the same message of hope has been proclaimed. So I thought I'd close today with a word from Cyprian of Carthage. Now, Cyprian was an influential Christian theologian who lived during the 3rd century. And according to the influential church historian Eusebius, an ancient historian, Cyprian wrote what I'm about to read to you during a worldwide plague in 252 AD. There was a plague going on. People were afraid. People were dying. And so Cyprian writes this in his treatise number 7 on the mortality. He writes this: "For he who wars for God," so he's fighting for God, dearest brethren, "ought to acknowledge himself as one who placed in the heavenly camp already hopes for divine things, so that we may have no trembling at the storms and whirlwinds of the world, and no disturbance, since the Lord has foretold that these would come." And skipping down quite a bit, "What room is there here for anxiety and solicitude," which is another word for being anxious, "who, in the midst of these things, is trembling and sad, except he who is without hope and faith? For it is for him to fear death who is not willing to go to Christ. It is for him to be unwilling to go to Christ who does not believe that he is about to reign with Christ." You see, it's those who have no faith in Christ who are really without hope in this world. We who are Christian, we have hope. We have the greatest hope that there ever was, and it has every bit of relevance to this crisis we find ourselves in now. That's why we can say we're hopeful. That's why we can say we're not panicking. We'll survive. Even if not in this world, we'll survive in the next one. I don't want to trivialize the suffering going on in the world now. There is time for lamentation. There is time for sorrow, not just during this virus, but we all face troubles in our lives, illnesses, tragedies. Maybe you're facing one unrelated to the coronavirus now. And those are difficult chapters in our life. They're filled with lament, filled with sorrow. But we know that's not the last chapter of our book. So we have hope to keep us trudging through the dark days of those chapters of our lives, that we might get to the chapter where we have eternal life with our Lord forever. That is the hope of Easter. Hope that gives you comfort, and I hope that you share it with those around you who need comfort during these days. Let's close in prayer. Father, we pray that we will be bold enough to share the gospel with those who need it around us, and that you will give us the strength to not only share with our mouth, but with the way we live. And that you will remind us every day that you are in control. And that we have the promise and the guarantee of eternal life. We pray once again that you would provide and help this virus to go away as quickly as possible. But if that's not your will, we pray that you'll give us the strength, that the hope of the gospel will drive us through this dark time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Easter.